Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fire and Ice Show, where we have those hard-to-talk-about conversations, such as sexual assault and domestic violence, how to deal with life after life has dealt with you. Here, in this safe space, it's all about our journey towards emotional healing. Now, here's your co-host, number one best-selling author, Jay, and healing and transformation expert coach, Laura Shea, both affectionately known as Fire and Ice.
Hello to our Blog Talk Fire
hey,
and Ice family.
Hi.
We missed you. We hope that 2017 has started out great for you guys. Before we get started, Jay is going to hit us with a few announcements.
Yeah, everybody. Hey, what's going on? So, you know what? Just like any other thing that you do with technology-wise, you're always going to have those glitches. So, if you're listening to the show, please bear with us today because we are having some serious technical issues today. So, don't hang up. Come back for the replay. Thank you guys for joining us. But we are having technical issues with Blog Talk today. Don't know what's going on, but hey, we're going to continue this conversation because it's very important for us to have. So we're going to push through, and we're going to push through together. Is that all right?
All right, Fire and Ice. We got this. We got this.
Yeah,
family.
We got it. We
you
got
know?
It.
Just hang on with us. So the Fire and Ice Show want to welcome our first special guest for the year of 2017. Yay! What
Yay,
better way?
Y'all hear me tapping.
I know, right? What better way to start our year than with an amazing speaker who is Mr. Tommy Douglas? No, he's not connected to the Dudley Products. I already asked him when we talked about him, so, you know. No, he's not. But, you know, he might be a cousin down the road. I don't know. But, you know, he is a...
Look, twice, three times, 15 times removed. He
no.
might got
He is a survivor of domestic violence, and it is such an honor to have him at our table because
yes,
that's
welcome.
A taboo subject, especially, you know, we don't have too many men who come out and talk about this. So let's do a quick little history. Mr. Tommy was born in Dallas, Texas, and he was raised by his mother and father. He has some older sisters. And then he went off to college, and he studied psychology. And then he went
nice.
Back home. I know, right? Psychology. We're going to have to get into that in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I'm making a note.
You making notes? And then he went off, as everyone do. He went to college, got his degree. Then he met a beautiful woman that he would love to marry. And then things took a turn for the worse. It started
mm-hmm.
getting verbal and then abusive, and then he found himself in a situation that no one ever really sees themselves in, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Mr. Tommy, I want to thank you up front for being a voice for victims and being a voice for survivors.
Yeah.
And as domestic violence. So let's jump right in, shall we? Let's not waste any more minutes.
Let's let him say hi, Shay. Say hi to our guest, Tommy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey,
let's
how
see,
are
let's
you?
Sir,
I'm
no,
good.
Let's do this again. Hold on, let's go back. Hey, Tommy,
yes.
Say hi to our guest.
Hey, guess how you doing? It's Tommy here.
You got that very right voice. I love it. Thank you so much, Tommy, for being on our show. We appreciate the fact that, one, you guys, he reached out to us. And you know, that shows a lot of tenacity. It shows a lot of courage. It shows a lot of strength, and it shows the fact that he's not embarrassed. So thank you so much. We are so excited to have you, our very first guest this year in 2017. So you like doing big things this year, starting off with the
I appreciate y'all. Already.
Thank you so much. So let's just jump right into it. You know, you guys, if this is your first time listening to us, we're the Fire and Ice Show. We talk about domestic violence, we talk about sexual assault, but we talk about emotional healing after you have, you know, experience something like that, and now you're learning how to cope with your new normal. And so, like, for, you know, a lot of our shows, though we kind of focus on women being the ones that are abused, we're changing the conversation a little bit, right, Tommy? Because Tommy kind of helped me realize that, yo, women ain't the only ones that's being abused. And so I think, you know, this conversation is going to be great because it's really going to show how society kind of give women a pass for acting a butthole, and men are looked at as being the aggressors, but there are some women aggressors too, and we're going to talk about that today, you guys. As you know, the Fire and Ice Show, like, we bring it to it real, and we don't care about feelings, we care about healing.
Amen. Don't go King James on us now. Let Mr.
I didn't even write down the King James Version Bible verse today, but if it come out, it come out, because I don't know. Stuff just be happening. So, Tommy, so, you know, people always listen to us. They hear our voice all the time. We want them to listen to you. So let's start with the first question, okay? So what is your story? I know Shay gave a little bit about, you know, your bio and a little bit about your story, but why don't you tell us in your own words, like, what happened? What had happened? Tommy, are you there? See, now this is like not the great point for the show for us to have technical issues all over again.
He's saying he can't hear us. It's okay. We're gonna hopefully get him back in on the call. If we have to do it again, we will. If we have to have a special show, we will.
Okay, hold on. I'm sending him a message.
So what we're gonna do? We're gonna talk about until we can get him back on. Let's just talk about domestic violence in men. The statistics in men. It's not. That you hear men speak out, and when we have men who do speak out, like Tommy, it's amazing because they really bring that light to a situation that some people don't even know exists. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, One in seven men have been victims of domestic violence by their partner or their spouse, their loved one. And one in five women have been victims of it. So that lets you know that number is like right neck and neck. One in five, one in seven is neck and neck. So to have our Tommy talk about it and have such a great platform that he's on, I don't want to take away from his story. I really wish we could get him back on. He is doing amazing things around the United States. It's just amazing. Oh, come on, Tommy, please get back on.
Yeah, but one of the things, too, I think you said you gave some statistics, and one of the things, you know, I wrote a story, I wrote a blog back in October when I was during the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and during that time, I wrote about women being the aggressors, and that was one of the blogs. It was actually, and I can leave the blog post in the Facebook group after the show, but it gave some statistics as well. And then one of the things that I posted in the blog was an actual video.
Yes.
Hey! Are you there? Yay.
Yeah,
welcome.
I'm here
back
on the landline.
Okay. Like, listen, we're trying every phone possible to get you on on the show. But what we were what we were sharing with everyone was statistics about male survivors and how, you know, most of them don't report that they're being violated. And so before we even lose you again, let's go back to the first question. And why don't you tell us your story in your own words? Like, what had happened?
Well, I actually experienced domestic violence for the first time growing up. It was my mom and dad.
Okay.
The police were always at our house constantly because they were fighting, and my mom was actually the aggressor as well. My dad was in the military. He was a drill sergeant, but he was really laid back. And, you know, she would say things to provoke him. I didn't understand it back then, you know, being a child.
Right.
Me and my sister would jump in and jump him because he was
a
man.
Right, because he's a man,
not realizing that my mom was talking about his mom and in his face and, you know, licking his face and, you know, just being antagonistic, you know.
Yeah.
So we watched that for years until my dad got tired of it. And he told my mom she had to leave. I was around fourth grade or something like that. We went into a few shelters, probably about three or four shelters around that time. So my mom finally got us an apartment. I was probably like a eighth grade freshman high school. So from there on, you know, that's when I started to develop, like I wrote in my bio, I had developed scoliosis, curvature of the spine. That was getting out of control. The doctors tried to put me in several back braces, and none of that worked. So I ended up having to have a spinal fusion surgery around 98, my junior year. So I have metal in my back. They called me the Wolverine. They called me the Terminator.
Wow.
I got metal all in my back. You know, it shined and light up like a Christmas tree. Yeah, anyhow, I graduated at 17 in 1999. Went to Florida A&M University. I'm a Rattler. I met a young lady there that was a little off her rocker, too. She had actually experienced sexual abuse, and I tried to help her out, but she wasn't abusive toward me. She was just trying to deal with the sexual abuse. So I had learned of that from her. Not knowing also that my mom grew up being sexually abused and raped by family and friends too. So that helped me understand that being a 17, 18 year old man, what my mom had dealt with, but she actually took it out on my dad. Eventually I ended up going back home. I met a young lady probably around when I was about 23, 24. At the homecoming, and she was from Seattle, and I ended up coming up and working for an airline in Seattle. Me and her got really close. She wanted me to move in. I ended up moving in. Took a lot of backlash from her family, from her church, and I'm just not the one to just roll over, you know. So I was just like, you guys aren't gonna come at me like that. I'm here for her. It's me and her thing.
Right.
Also, the family, I had known them for 6-7 years prior before knowing her because I went to college with her uncle. So I already knew the family, so they badmouthed me to her and said all these things and tried to interfere in the relationship, which she allowed. So for me, that was like the last straw. I, you know, let them know, you know, who I was and that they know better and that they don't need to come at me like that. All right, we're adults. Our business is our business.
Right.
Probably not even a few months after, around in 2006, this is when she started showing me who she was. That's when she got abusive. And she hit me in the face when we were sitting on the couch one day talking about the situation. And I'm thinking to myself, did this girl just hit me?
Right.
And I looked
that
at her
like
and then,
like, what?
Yeah, she hit me, you know, with a right hook. And I was like, okay, my face turned. And I touched my lip to see if it was bleeding. And I thought to myself, did she just hit me? But I said something else in my head, but I'm not going to say it. You know, and I was like, you know, and I'm like, okay, man, hold up, wait a minute, you know. And then she thought about it again, and she hit me with a left hook, and my face turned again. And I said, I thought to myself, yeah, I was like, okay, well, clearly I can take a lick. So she didn't hit me twice. You know, my face didn't turn. And I was like, okay, she's really aggressive. So I got up and I went into the room and I had to get ready for work, I remember. She came in the room. She said, "You just don't shut up." She started choking me, scratching, biting. And I had to restrain her because, you know, I'm from the South. And, you know, my grandmother and my mom and all, and they raised me, don't put your hands on the woman.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So only thing I could do was, try to control her arms and her feet and
right.
her hands and her teeth, you know, like try to restrain her.
Wow.
She's bigger than me. You know, I'm like 5'7", 120 pounds, and she's like 5'7", 200 pounds, you know.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, so I'm, you know, I'm handling her, you know, but I'm not going to put my hands on. I'm just going to restrain
right.
her. And you know, just like they tell women, you know, no means no. If I'm confident,
right.
you know, stop hitting me. Don't
right.
hit me, and you're still doing it. You know, it's like I felt like there was no help that I could get. I could call the
right.
police and get her in trouble, or, you know, or I'd call them and they wouldn't take it seriously, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
So, yeah, you know, this continued over about 5 or 6 years in Seattle.
Wow.
She worked at the airport with me, so she would come up and check, and she scoped for women. And she, every time I came home, she was telling me a different girl's name that she saw and who is it. And she'd be calling them out their name, and she said she'd hear about how much of a gentleman I am at work, and that don't let those bees disrespect me. And she's naming all people's names, and she's taking pictures of them on her phone and showing me their name tags and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, all the women at work, they were afraid. They'd be talking to me. And then when I know she was on the airport level, when
yeah.
they all just would scatter. They would scatter like roaches,
yeah.
like you turn the light on roaches, because they knew
wow.
she was coming. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
oh, my gosh, she's behind me, you know.
Yeah.
And she come up and she let me know who she didn't like and what she didn't like. And then when I got home, I heard it again. I heard it on the way to work, because we go to the airport at like 4 or 5 in the morning. I heard it on the way back from work, 5, 6 in the evening.
So, okay. So you just said a whole lot right there in your story, and you're not even done telling the story. But what I want to remind the listeners is we're talking about women being the aggressors. We're talking about domestic violence when it's not the woman who is being abused, but it's the woman who's being the abuser. And so Tommy said a whole lot in his statement. He talked about how the women that he grew up around and the women that he were in relationships with were abused sexually. And he also said something that was really powerful that I think that he kind of like went over it pretty quickly, but I'm going to bring it back to the forefront. He said that some of the church members were abusive to him. We talked about spiritual abuse on
yes,
the show
have.
Last year, and we had we did a show on how the church can abuse their power and hurt people and cover it up by the name of God. And so Tommy is I love about your story is that you're telling it, you're using a little humor, but you're telling it, and there's so much in your story that it's amazing to me. But Shay, doesn't it sound like, you know, like a woman telling a story? Like women tell these stories all the time, that the man was the one that was stalking her, and the man was the one that, you know, looked at her cell phone and watched it. But now we're hearing that women do the same thing.
And it goes to show that sometimes gender does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm listening to your story. And it's showing me, the question I have for you is, do you feel like you seeing your mom being the aggressor with your dad, do you feel like that's what kind of exposed you to not be okay, but somewhat accept in that moment for her to hit you? Like, because you've seen your mom do it to your dad, so did you feel like that was kind of how it was meant to be a little bit? I'm just asking a question.
Honestly, when it happened, I was confused, and I thought, did this really happen? I was like, a woman has never hit me, no matter how crazy I thought they were.
Yeah.
None of them have ever done that, you know,
yeah.
And for her to just well off and do that, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, what do? Do I call the cops?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
are they going to make fun of me, you know, and then, you know, I'm thinking about my grandmother and my mom and you know,
yeah.
all the women I grew up around, you know, how I grew up in South, you know, we don't touch
yeah.
women, be a gentleman,
right.
all this stuff, you know. And then I'm thinking, okay, if I put my hands on her, then that's going to ruin my chances of doing the things I
oh,
want
yeah.
to do in life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I aspire to be a firefighter. I have dreams and goals, you know.
Yeah,
yeah they're
going
to
yeah.
bury me under the jail.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You're a black man.
If I thump her, yeah, exactly.
yeah.
If I thump her, I'm going to jail. I'm going to be under
yeah.
They're going to throw the book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then
you don't even have to touch it. You can threaten like you're going to
exactly,
do something,
exactly.
and you would be persecuted for that. And I think that is so sad that's how the law is.
Exactly.
So tell me something, Tommy. And I think I think our listeners want to know this because you said you know from the first incident of it
mm-hmm.
happening, and then it went on for 5 years. Why?
Yeah.
You endured this abuse for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I can tell you that probably because you're a good guy and you thought that your love could change her and change the
yeah.
situation. But at what point, what happened, what was the end all be all and say, you know what, this is it, I'm done, I can't take it anymore?
The end all was after we had gotten married, and my daughter, I called one day because I took my ring off. I was like, I'm done. And she tried to
yeah.
strangle me with my necktie on my way to work.
Uh-huh.
And I called the cops, and I told them, just help me get my stuff out the house.
Yeah.
And when they came, they said Washington State's law is that they had to arrest her. And
wow.
I didn't know that. I just wanted to get my stuff out. So her mom
yeah.
and her stepdad and all these people calling me, and they told me how I was wrong to get her arrested
mm-hmm.
and I should have known better, and they were all angry at me. But I'm in
wow.
the house trying to pack up
That's
my
crazy.
Stuff and trying to get out of there, you know. And
yeah.
the airline that I was working for, they knew about it because my attendance was just terrible, and I was
mm.
on the verge of being fired from the airport job I loved doing. And
wow.
They helped me get out. They sent the police over too.
Mm.
Oh,
and,
wow.
They
awesome.
Gave, you know, they got me on a flight. They got all my stuff sent back. You know, they even had to protect some agents
wow.
that worked at the job with me because she was calling them on the phone and she was looking at their license plates and looking at their name tags and their ID badges and all that stuff. So, you know,
so
I had to get a restraining order.
Did it turn like, I was about to say, did it turn into a, like, stalking situation? Because that's what I'm somewhat hearing.
It was not just stalking for me. It was stalking for other women at the job.
Okay.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that
I had a restraining
a lot
order.
Of energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
But I mean, she
so,
worked at the airport too, so she'd find a way to get away from her desk to go up to the airline desk and
mm-hmm.
find me
mm-hmm.
and whoever she was looking for.
Mm, wow, that's
so
crazy.
I'm reading what have read your bio, and you said
mm-hmm.
once you left that relationship and you ended and everything went. You found yourself in another physical abuse relationship. How did that happen?
Oh, my word. Well, after I left, I started dating a girl, and everything was going good with that. I just was back home, and it was long distance, so that was rough on her. But she was not
mm-hmm.
abusive. She
okay.
was caring, and she helped me also get out of that situation. She helped me with the restraining orders and the divorce decrees and
right.
child custody battle and all that stuff. She helped me with all that. The thing
okay.
about it, we had a you know relationship on the rocks because, like I said, it's long distance, and
yeah.
she wasn't able to deal with that. So
mm-hmm.
I met another young lady in Dallas
mm-hmm.
that was a friend of mine, and she was trying to help me because she saw that I was trying to help my sister get out of a relationship that was
yeah.
dealing with abuse. So
wow.
I came back
mm-hmm.
home
You're
to
surrounded
Dallas to try
by this.
To take, yeah, I tried to take my sister and get my nephews out of it. So we were staying in hotels in Dallas for over like 5-6 months. And
wow.
I was working,
okay.
paying for hotels, feeding my sister and my two nephews. And I couldn't go back in my mom's house because I know how my mom is. but we ended up having to go back in there after the situation with this girl. So I was in a relationship with her for a little bit, and, you know, you get caught up in the moment because it's special to you. You're back home. You do things together. You know, I was taking this girl to my church. We were eating out. You know, I was getting close with her children and all sorts of things. So she actually first drew her hand to me inside my mom's house. And so I had to restrain her in there. And I'm like, just get out of my mom's house. I said, you can't do this in her. And she just was not hearing it. No cussing, telling me what kind of sorry dude I am, and calling me all kind of B's and H's and M alphas and everything. All the things.
Oh, gosh.
And she finally ended up leaving or whatever, but she would always come back. She would always find a way to come back because she knew when I was in my mom's house that the verbal abuse and all that stuff would start in on me and my sister and my nephews. So I had this girl that I'm dealing in with a relationship that I work with that is abusive, and then I'm in the house again with my mom because I can't keep up the bills in these hotels and stuff for my sister and my nephews.
Right,
so my mom
right.
started getting aggressive toward my younger nephews and my sister and me.
Jeez.
So she ended up fighting my sister one day on my birthday, and I'm running down the street in Dallas trying to get home to protect my nephews and my sister. And this girl, me and her done just got into it, but she finds out what happens. So she comes to the house, and we have to physically restrain my mom. And then my mom turns on us, and I had to put my mom in an arm bar to lock her up because she's trying to jump my nephew. My nephew, he's ready to just take her out. He's crying. He's like 14. And I told him, sit down. I'm going to handle this. So
but
then the girl that was a
Go ahead, Tommy.
Oh, I was just saying, see, the girl that was abusing me, she had to see how my mom was, but then she still was doing the same thing then and afterwards.
This is a cycle that I'm seeing here is that, you know, as a child, if you grow up and you see that type of abuse in the home, you know, either you're going to reciprocate that, behavior, or you're going to make a decision like, you know what, I don't want that. I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be something completely different. What happened with you, Tommy, is that you became the one that received the abuse. You became the victim of it. And even though watching your parents fight, you didn't become the abuser, you became the victim. And so all of these women that came in and out of your life saw, one, that you were a kind man and that you would never raise your hand to them, and they took advantage of that. Hurt people hurt people. And I heard Joyce Meyer said that years ago, and it's a cycle. Either the kids are going to become the abuser, or they're going to be in a relationship where they're the victim of it. And so what I like about, and I don't want, you know, the whole show to be about, you know, on the side of you being abused, but how you came out of that lifestyle because you saw that you needed and you deserved something way better, regardless of your past. And I say this in my own business, that my past don't define me. It refines me.
I heard that.
And so what I love about your story, Tommy, is that out of all the situations that you've gone through, out of all the relationships, the failed relationships, and I'm calling them failed because it wasn't a success, because it involved abuse. But you decided, you woke up and said, you know what, I deserve better than this. And so you did the work to come out of that abusive relationship and even not let it stain you, Tommy. You could have turned into this bitter man that's like, I don't trust women no more. Like, they all suck. But you did. You know what I'm saying? And so now you're in a beautiful relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. Tommy.
How did you come out of those two abusive relationships and now to be in a beautiful relationship with your beautiful woman now? And y'all are raising some amazing children together. How did you go from those to this relationship? What did you do?
What's the key? What's the secret?
The key is your faith. And, you I always read this quote on Facebook. You can change the world. Don't let the world change your smile. You change the world with your smile. I always try to make sure that that's something I do. My pastor at home in Dallas always told me, whatever I do, affect change in somebody's life. Be somebody's one day. So I learned from that, you know, and that's what I try to put out there. And then plus, I you know, I've always been someone who cares a lot about people. I care more about people than I care about what happens to me, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's something that I had to learn, that I have to put myself first and things too, and that's not selfish, just loving myself and knowing my value as well. You know, my sister, she's my best friend, you know. She believes a lot in me. My girlfriend now, my hula doll, she supports me a lot. And
girlfriend.
I do this because I try to be the kind of man that I want my nephews to be. I try to show them. I try to show my island boys who I want them to be. You know, I always talk to them about what, you know, situation I've been in. And, you know, and when my daughters get to come around me, when their moms stop being who they are, then I can show them what kind of man I am for them and what man they need to look for, you know. Pretty much it's just faith. You know, you got to keep your trust in God. You got to, you know, in spite of all the nightmares and not eating and all the things I've dealt with and unforgiving and grudges, I had to learn just to let that stuff go and block it, my blessings.
That's
powerful.
That's that's amazing. And for our listeners, we're talking to the amazing male survivor, Tommy Dulles of Domestic. And as you go back and listen to the replay, you'll hear his story and how he came out of and how he's in a wonderful relationship and all that brought you to be an advocate for domestic violence. So go ahead and hit us up with what you're doing and what you doing out there, bro.
What you doing?
I'm after I got connected with you guys, you know, I pretty much reach out to everyone who's doing advocacy, you know, whether it's for women or men. I started a group on Facebook, Pass for Gentlemen. I also started a little organization called Pass for Gentlemen. So what I was looking at, I was always stuck in the past, but this past is, I'm going to make it a positive one. So Pass stands for Purple Always Standing Tall for Gentlemen.
Nice. Let's leave that in our Facebook group, Shane.
Yes. Well, I'm going to go get that. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom. That's what we do. We cut people off on the show.
Oh, no, you good. I thought about that for a 3.5-hour flight from Seattle to Dallas. I was, like, writing, trying to figure out what I wanted to call my group because I wanted the men to get out there and tell their story and to not be afraid and to know it's somewhere they can go and to not feel emasculated and they can talk about it with me or with whoever else is in the group, you know.
That's awesome.
So, I try to do that. Awesome. I got in contact with a group called Breaking the Silence. I got in contact with another group, a gentleman I talked to yesterday. His mom lives in Florida, and he actually connected with me. And it's just been crazy how, you know, the men are, they coming out, you know, slowly but surely, but they'll like things, but they won't say too much yet. And I understand that because, you know. As a man, and, you're not going to want to tell it. So.
Yeah, but even women, because the Fire and Ice show, we had a struggle last year with a lot of people liking what we say or they won't call into the show, but they always listen to the replay. And so that became our focus for inboxes. That became our focus. We don't need you to show up in public's eye, but we want you to listen to that replay. We want you to contact us privately because we're still going to talk about it. And because of that, because we know it's hard to talk about, that's why we do what we do. Because it's a conversation that needs to be had. And it doesn't matter if people comment on the post or even if they share our post. It doesn't take away and it doesn't negate the fact that this is an important conversation. And so thank you so much for starting the Facebook group. You know, keep going and keep doing what you're doing. Keep being the voice, you know, for male survivors because, you know, I work on I talk a lot too, but I work on I work on a national sexual assault hotline, and I can't tell you how many men call in because they've been abused. And this is an anonymous hotline, so it's easier for them to do that. We don't know who they are. They don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
just to know the numbers out there of men
yeah.
that are being abused and too afraid to say, hey, come
mm-hmm.
help me. So
exactly.
Kudos off to you, Mr. Tommy. Thank you so much for being on the
thank
show.
Thank you, dear.
We are so honored to have you. We are so honored to have you. And so tell people how they can get in contact with you. We're going to leave your Facebook group in our Facebook group, a link to the group, so
okay.
people can go over and shout out and give you a high and say, hey, you did a good job and all that kind of stuff. But
where else can they find you? You can find me on all the social media. I'm just all over there spreading the word and advocating. That's the only reason I'm on social media, is to spread the word, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome. I have a Instagram account that's Texas T Networks.
Yeah.
I advocate on there for scoliosis and the domestic violence as well. I have Twitter, Texas D 2. I have my Facebook, of course, Tommy Dudley the Second, in parentheses
yeah.
Texas T. I'm on Kick.
Pretty
much on LinkedIn.
And Shay, can I tell you, I can't tell you how many Texans reached out to us once I started posting that Tommy was going to be
yeah.
on the show. We've had many people say, oh, I love Texas T. I love Texas T.
Yeah,
so
they were like, we had inboxes like,
right
number,
now.
That was the number, that's my boy, I
yeah.
listen to everything you do. I was like,
yeah. So keep
bro.
Up the good work. Yeah, keep up the good work, definitely.
You are officially
you.
Our brother now. You can
yes,
have
ma'am.
Room. Please let your beautiful Miss Stephanie, your beautiful woman, know that you have now adopted two new sisters. We are now your sister. You are our brother.
Yeah.
We're
crazy,
gonna be,
too.
We're ever connected. And
yes, ma'am, we are.
We're going to knock these numbers down one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to
yeah.
do it together.
Together, yes.
Thank you so much. Y'all can go check out. We're going to have him post on our page all his social media handles. I just put in there his Facebook group. If you want to tag someone, inbox, copy the link, inbox someone, say, hey, just thought of you. This is something I feel you would that would
yeah.
be good for you. Do that. Please share the information. Like we say all the time, we cannot do what we do if it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for your
yes.
love and your support,
we love you
and listening to us. And we know that our story is not our own. And the people
yeah.
that we're bringing on, their story is not their own. It is for you guys to show
yeah.
that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And
yeah.
we appreciate you all, and we value you all, and your time does not go unnoted.
Now, we're
so we
coming down to, like, towards the end of the show. We hate saying goodbye, but we have to, because then we have families that we have to go feed. So, but guess what, guys? You know what? We're still really excited, because next week, and actually for the next two shows, we are going to talk about the one thing that we have refused to bring on our show. We hardly ever, never talk about politics, but we know
yeah.
that we're about to enter into another administration
mm-hmm.
by a man who has openly shown disrespect to women, and he has openly shown a disgrace and all of this stuff towards women, and
mm-hmm.
most of our, if not all of our community, all of the listeners of our show has been affected by his words and his actions and his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting ready to step into the highest level administration office in the world. He's about to regain that. He's about to get into a position of power. And so the next couple of weeks, we're bringing to our show, we're going to talk about, we may even open the lines. I haven't decided that yet, Shay, because there's so many emotions around it. What I don't want is, I don't want people to call in with disrespect. This
yeah.
still is a safe space for us. We're still going to show respect, but we're going to keep it real. Like, how are we now going to cope with the man that does not give a bleep, bleep, bleep about how we feel, about how we think, about our needs as a woman? okay? And then, you know, he got some things against men too. But, hey, we're definitely going to talk about his plan to get rid of Planned
yes.
Parenthood, his plan to get rid of our choice in our bodies. And so the name of the show is The Elephant in the Room and How to Cope with Trump. We're going to talk about this for the next 2 weeks because I think it's an important conversation. And for our community, what we do best is we provide advice, we provide tips for emotional healing. And if we don't need emotional healing this year and for the next couple of months, I'm not even giving him a couple of years in the office, but hey, if we don't need emotional healing now, I don't know what the hell we need. Like, we need something. And I'm telling you now, people, I am not going to be drinking Hennessy every day just to cope with this man. No,
that
ain't going to be an alcoholic because he's an idiot. Right, you know, just because he's an idiot, I'm not going to ruin my life. So how do we deal with that stuff? That's what we're coming to. That's what we're bringing to the fire and ice table next couple of weeks. I hope you guys can join us. I hope you can, you know, participate in the conversation. We know it's going to be lively. We know it's going to be emotional because this whole race has been emotional. We do know, yeah. too, that the day of inauguration is going to be extremely emotional for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. You know, I've done my crying. I've done my, you know, emotional bout. But we're here now, and so now what? And how are we going to deal with that? So that's what's coming up next week, you guys. I hope you can join us. Again, I want to say thank you so much to our special guest, Tommy. This is not the last time. I hope that you're going to be on our show.
Oh, definitely. Next time I'm about to fly over in person.
Next
time. Oh, yeah. Like, we should all get in the studio and just key it up because, you know, that's what we do all the time. We always laugh.
Exactly.
I think we should. So, we are now closing out the show, you guys, and I wanted to leave you with a little bit of motivation. I want to tell you that you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new big dream, and that is by C.S. Lewis. Let those words marinate. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new big dream.
Awesome. Right. Awesome. Right. And any last words from you, Tommy? Would you like to tell the listeners or those who listen to the replay any last message you would like to say to them? We have 2 minutes left. You get it.
Okay. I would just like to say thank you to all the listeners for your support and everything. I appreciate all the men and women across the states that are listening, all my supporters out there. Also, the Jay and Shay Fire and Ice Show and Cold of Diamonds, Matters of the Heart. I appreciate y'all. my girlfriend, my hula doll, Stephanie, my sister,
aww.
Chancel down in Dallas, and the guy, the gentleman who actually helped me start advocating, a young man that's 14 years old in Oregon.
Wow.
CHD survivor, Jacob's Heart Story, and his mother, Janice Burris. They've helped me out a lot. And with the Make-A-Wish Foundation and all that stuff. And shouts out to my Alaska Airlines family for taking care of me and getting me out
Alaska?
Of those situations.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Alaska. Thanks for everyone who has done that. That's great. So thank you guys for joining us, and thank you for listening to the replay. We love you, and until next week, bye.
Bye. Peace.